Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, wherever you may be. It is me, Dov, from Forza Italian Football, of course, to do some Euro podding because there's been some European action during the last 3 days. And to help me discuss the midweek action is Mr. Padraig Whelan. Padraig, how are you doing?
I'm good, Dov. Yeah, it was another reasonably successful week, wasn't it, for the Italian sides, I think. Ticking along quite nicely.
They are indeed, and obviously this is Forza Italian Football and we are hashtag FIF at the games, because not only was I at Milan Dudelange on Thursday, we had reporters at every single Champions League game involving the Italian teams this week. Every single one. How many other Italian football podcasts / websites can say that? I'll answer, none. I thought you were maybe going to answer, Paddy, but I thought I'd do it.
Yeah, well, I know. This is a question that I know the answer to, this one. So there might not be too many more of those this evening, although hopefully that isn't the case.
Wow, yeah. We'll discuss that at the end about what's going to happen, the ramifications and stuff like that. But I think there might be another couple of times we'll get to the games. Right, so let's start on Tuesday then in the Champions League. Juventus against Valencia. In Turin, this is one that I happened to be at. Mario Mandzukic scored his third goal in three games on the hour to give Juve a 1-0 win and pretty much put them through to the next round. They've just got to decide on who's going to get top spot between them and Manchester United. Paddy, obviously you would have had a little look at the game. It was fairly comfortable, this one, I thought, for Juve.
Yeah, same here. I think it was just that kind of typical performance you kind of get from Juve at home, where they face these teams who, good teams, don't get me wrong, Valencia certainly not a bad team, but Juve just make them look so ordinary. That's how good that they are at home, and they can make these good teams look as if they really can't lay a glove on them. And I mean, aside from one or two good saves from Chesney and the goal that was disallowed, Valencia really didn't test Juve a whole lot, I felt, especially once Juve got the goal to put them 1-0 up. I think it was always going to be an uphill battle for Valencia after that. I really didn't see them finding a way back into the game. You never do with Juve. I think that's why the last Champions League home game was such a surprise, even though it was against Man United. That is just so on Juve, like, but this was just back to business kind of for Juve, wasn't it? They get their goal and nobody can really find a way past them.
Yeah, I mean that's exactly it. Like Valencia, it came to Turin and they needed a result to keep themselves in the competition. So I kind of think half expected after what happened against Manchester United that Valencia would at least give it a go. And honestly, like you, apart from I think it was Diakabi's header at the end of the first half where Szczesny made an amazing save. I think there was a statistic being banded around where I think his reaction time was like 0.3 seconds, given the speed of the ball, the header came in, and the distance to goal, which I think is amazing.
Good for him as well after the last Champions League game, wasn't it?
He was getting a bit of criticism after that one. Yeah, and then made up for it there, and even then, I mean, I think like Valencia were just. There was absolutely no way they were getting anything from the game, and it was really disappointing about how they set up. And obviously, they kind of were put out after Manchester United scored their very, very late goal in the game against Young Boys. But I mean, so it means that basically, Juventus are going to win the group. And I think if depending on the result, how many goals Manchester United win by, they might finish second. Because I think, because obviously on the head-to-head record, Juventus lose that because they conceded two away goals. So it'll be interesting to see if that happens and how that affects them. But yeah, there's nothing really to say about Juve. It's annoying to talk about Juve because they are just so good.
Especially at this stage, Godov, isn't it? It's kind of the stage of the tournament for Juve where. I don't want to say it's not like they're going through the motions because they are playing well and they're doing what they have to do. But you know that they're going to win these games. They're almost like a formality for Juve, and you really are kind of waiting for, you know, March and April time, aren't you, with Juve in the Champions League to really see, especially this season with Ronaldo, obviously what they're going to be like in the big kind of European nights then, because these games, yeah, it's. The teams just aren't good enough to stop them.
They're so straightforward for them, I think, as well. So like, they're basically doing what they need to do, and I don't think showing their say true selves, if you like, in the competition just yet. But that will come. I think Allegri was asked in the press conference, we thought that was a nice wee joke, and he was asked if the Champions League is his competition, given the fact that he's kind of got to the later stages quite often in two finals and stuff, and his response I thought was quite good. He said, well, if the lads bring home the trophy, then it'll definitely be my competition. So there you go, big Max having a wee joke. Right, so that's Juve done, easy peasy. Let's go to Rome, where we had Mr. Alistair McKenzie was at the Stadio Olimpico to take in Roma against Real Madrid. And unfortunately, this one went rather awry for the home team. They lost 2-0. It was Gareth Bale and Lucas Vasquez getting the goals for the European champions, the reigning European champions. Although it didn't matter because other results in the group meant that both teams qualified and Real Madrid will go through as top of the group. So, Alistair, what exactly went wrong for Roma?
Primarily, they didn't put away their chances in the first half because that was a real opportunity for them. They started the game really well. There was a huge crowd inside the Olimpico, and they were already a bit G'd up by the Francesco Totti Hall of Fame induction that was happening before the game. So there was a great atmosphere that was helping them put in a great shift, really, in that first half, and they were completely on top. But they were taught a pretty harsh lesson by the team who were probably better than anyone else at teaching these kind of lessons, that in order to actually get results from these games, they have to take the opportunities that arise and have to avoid the kind of errors that saw Real take the lead so soon after the second half. I mean, Cengiz Under is obviously the one who's most responsible for that with his terrible miss just before halftime. But they had enough chances before then to have gone in front. Schick missed from 6 yards out. Kluivert and Schick again both scuffed pretty good opportunities in that first half as well. And considering the amount of the ease with which they're managing to carve apart that Madrid defence, you know, you did get the sense that they were going to be made to pay for failing to put away those chances. And then in the second half, like I said, immediately made they were punished by terrible back header back from Fazio that came from a terrible Olsen clearance, and kind of two moments of individual kind of lack of losses of concentration is enough for a team like Real to pounce. And to be honest, once they went down, and particularly once Real got the second, they never for a moment even looked like they were even interested in getting back into the game. And in the end, it could have been more than 2-0.
And obviously, like you say, there are a lot of issues that Di Francesco has. And do you think these are problems that he can fix?
Di Francesco is looking more and more kind of wired and rattled every time I see him. And you can understand why. The first half, like I mentioned, they had enough chances to be in front by the time of half time. And there's not an awful lot he as a coach can do about the way that they conceded the first goal, where it's just individual errors that have let them down. But I think the first goal does also perhaps link back to what a lot of people are complaining about in the stands and in the papers and everything, which is the mentality of this Roma team. And he's previously criticised them, Di Francesco, for switching off and at the first sign of difficulty you're not being able to really rally themselves. And you saw that again last night, despite the fact that they had a lot of swagger and were really on top in that first half. As soon as they went behind, particularly after the second goal, they had enough time to get back into that game. They still had about half an hour to go when the second goal went in, but they never looked likely to do it. So the mentality thing, I think, is a major issue, and that's probably only going to get worse because, you know, substitutions were made in the second half, and particularly when Steven Nzonzi was subbed off, there were huge boos from the crowds. So the crowd have kind of turned against the players by this point, and it's going to get harder for them to have a positive attitude. And I suppose Di Francesco's critics, that's one of their biggest criticisms of him, is that if he was going to have been able to get through to the players and turn them around, he would have done it by now. They've had these problems from the very start of the season, throwing away a 2-0 lead to Chievo to draw 2-2. They were 3-1 down by half-time against Atalanta at home before coming back to 3-3. They had those defeats to Bologna and Udinese. So it's been a remarkably inconsistent season for them so far, and it's quite hard to say, you know, what he can do. He has been a bit unlucky with injuries. There was last night, they were missing Dzeko and Pellegrini, which is, you know, the fulcrum of their attacking moves. And although Dzeko's form in the league this season hasn't been great, he's been phenomenal in the Champions League and is a man for the big occasions. So the fact that they had to replace them with guys as young and experienced as Zaniolo and Patrick Schick is a bit unlucky for him. So he does deserve the benefit of the doubt a little bit with that.
And obviously, like I mentioned at the top there, they've qualified regardless, and obviously you have been to the Olympico quite a lot this season because hashtag FIF at the games. Do you think that they could maybe have a long run in the Champions League like they did last season? Obviously comparing it to Serie A where their form isn't there, do you think they can go far again in Europe?
I don't think there's much evidence from what we've seen already this season to suggest they can go far in the Champions League again. But the thing is, the knockout rounds obviously don't start until next year, next February. So there is quite a lot that can change between now and then. The biggest one, I suppose, that people are talking about is whether Di Francesco will still be in charge by then or not. And if a new coach is brought in, which there aren't any signs really of happening so far, but if that does happen, that could have any sort of influence on the team. There's also the January transfer market as well, which we'll have to wait and see what kind of reinforcements, if any, that they can bring in then. So the core of this team is still good enough, I'd say, to qualify to maybe the quarter-final stage, but it all depends as well on the draw that they get, because one thing that happened last night as well is that they've been guaranteed second place in the group, so they could well end up with one of the kind of big European juggernauts in the last 16 draw. And if that happens, from the evidence of what we've seen in the two games against Real Madrid, but also in the league so far this season, it's hard to imagine this Roma team getting the same kind of result against, say, a Barcelona like they did last season, or a Manchester City, or, you know, a Bayern Munich. I can't really imagine over two legs that this team's got enough about it right now to take down one of those really big teams. But were they to get a bit lucky with the draw, you never know, because I think there is still enough talent in the team to get them through. And on their day, they can be, capable of those big performances, but what they do need to do is sharpen up in front of goal. Like I've already mentioned, if they can put away the chances that they created like last night in the first half, then I don't see why they couldn't put teams in a lot of difficulty in this competition. I mean, Real Madrid, for all their problems, are the three-time in a row champions of this competition, so it's not exactly a poor side they were up against. So we'll have to wait and see, but I would say at the moment it all really depends on what happens over the next few months.
And I know as well you did want to have a wee word about the strikers.
Something this team is really missing, really lacking, is a prolific goal scorer and a striker up front. I mean, Edin Dzeko is the joint top scorer in the Champions League, so he's been doing well there, but those goals have come against Pilsen and CSKA and only in two different games, if I remember correctly. But while he's away, I think Dzeko's still a very good option to have up front in these games, in the Champions League games. But when he's not available, Patrick Schick, it's quite clear that he's still far from being the player that Roma kind of hoped he would be by this stage. And his involvement in games is often quite minimal. He can really go missing in matches. He hasn't really shown he has what it takes to lead the line so far in this system. And he's only got one goal this season, obviously, for them as well. And when he's had his chances, and he had them last night against Real Madrid, he had two pretty good chances to put the ball in the net and failed to on either occasion. So I think for Roma to get much further and really to turn around their form in the league as well, they do need to sort out this striker problem, get Dzeko scoring goals in the league again, and find a way of getting the best out of Patrick Schick, because at the moment he's been given a fair few opportunities, but he's yet to really take them.
Well, there we go, Paddy. That's what Alistair thought about rubbish Roma. What do you think then? Obviously, they got beat 2-0 at home. Real Madrid aren't really in the best of form right now either. So do you think this was a bit of a surprise result?
Oh, honestly, Dov, I didn't know what to expect going into that game, because both those teams, like you said, Real Madrid, were no different. They'd started a little better, I suppose, under Solari. I think they'd won their first four games, and then obviously they came into that, the Roma game, off the back of a heavy defeat away from home. But Roma hadn't been playing well either, and they'd been beaten away against Udinese, so I kind of didn't know what to expect from it. And I suppose the only thing that Roma can really take out of it is that ultimately it didn't matter that, you know, they lost it and they went through. And like you said, maybe, well, certainly not playing that well recently, and yet they are into the last 16. And then you look at Inter and Napoli, who by and large have played well in the Champions League this season and in Serie A as well, and the two of those teams might not get through. And yet there's Roma, just, you know, by virtue of the groups, they're through with a game to spare. So just, it's funny how the old Champions League works out when you get a draw in your favour.
Indeed it is, right. So let's go to London then, because you were there at Wembley Stadium to witness Tottenham Hotspur winning 1-0 with Christian Eriksen scoring 10 minutes before the end. What did you think of it?
I thought that, to be honest, that it was quite harsh on Inter. I thought if the game had ended 0-0, I don't think Spurs could have complained a whole lot. And I think Inter had by and large, they defended well enough to probably merit that clean sheet. I thought the two centre-backs, particularly De Vrij and Skriniar, which is maybe concerning for Inter, that Skriniar just seems to be getting better and better on these big stages. It's obviously not ideal for them that it likely isn't going to be too long with the scarcity of centre halves around, that teams are going to come sniffing for him. He was outstanding again. I thought he and De Vrij, like I mentioned, they definitely didn't deserve to be on the losing team, but I don't think Inter did enough to win it either. And, you know, a goal at any stage in the game, you always felt would have been enough. Even before the game, you felt that if Inter scored, then one probably would have been enough for them. They could have snuck through. And before it, Spalletti obviously promised, he pretty much said, we're going out to win this. The players said the same. But I don't know. I don't think they ever really looked as if they had that mentality that they'd set out to get that goal. That chances for them were were few and far between. I think maybe Skriniar had the best one, or Valero maybe in the first half, but you know, they were half chances though, so didn't really do enough in attack.
What about Ivan Perisic? Because he's coming for a bit of criticism by not being very good. Do you think that's deserved criticism? Do you think that he needed to, that was a game where he needed to step up and show, can I say, World Cup form?
Well, that was actually something that he was asked about the press conference the day before. He was one of the Inter players put up to speak to the media, and he wasn't too impressed actually when it was put to him that his numbers are basically down for the season, and even just the eye test, I suppose, watching him, he doesn't seem to be at his best. But I don't think he was actually that bad. I thought he did quite well when he came in off the wing. Actually, I thought it was when he looked most dangerous, when he came in to send crosses in or let Asamoah overlap, or even to flick on headers for other players. I thought that's when he looked, if not dangerous, he looked a bit brighter. I don't think he's been as bad maybe as it's been made out. And I think if you look at, you know, kind of other players from that, the World Cup and guys that got to the final, like at Real Madrid, you have Varane and Modric, who both got to the final, and they seem to be coming in for pretty much similar criticism, that they've really not been at their best this season, especially Modric, you know, fellow Croatian. So maybe that is, that there's something to that these guys are just jaded from so little time off, and they're also playing in Champions League teams, so a lot of these guys are maybe not getting as much rest or playing two every 3 days or stuff like that. So with Perisic, I think maybe like you said, it could be time to sit him out for a few games, give him a bit more rest, because you have the options there in Keita and others. So that could be something, you're right, to look at.
And what about Nainggolan? Obviously, he came off injured just before the break. Do you think maybe if he was on the park in the second half, Inter could have sneaked a win, or at least kind of kept it?
Well, not the way he was playing.
No, anyway, not impressed.
Yeah, I think it was a godsend for Inter that he did go off, because I think you could tell for maybe 10 minutes before, obviously the Frosinone game was his first game back, and you could tell that he'd obviously did something, or that he wasn't comfortable, because he wasn't getting around the park too well. Every time he got the ball, he just seemed to lose it. He wasn't kind of pressing high and in amongst the Spurs players like you'd have expected. So if they had a fully fit Rajan Angulan, who hasn't had the ankle injuries that he's had in the last few weeks at Wembley, that might have been a different story. But the way he was playing, I think it was no surprise anyway to see him go off. And then obviously the man who came on, Valero, maybe if the ball had fell to him in the box like it did to Valero just pretty much moments after he came on, and he kind of hesitated at that chance, it could have been a different story. But ifs and buts, though. Ifs and buts.
Exactly, ifs and buts. Right, we'll come to the ramifications in the group in a minute. I just want to bring Vieri Capretta in, because he went away to Napoli to go and watch Napoli against Red Star from Stadio San Paolo. Hello, Vieri. Right, so let's get into it. Napoli, the win was pretty straightforward, and obviously Dries Mertens got two goals, his 100th goal.
Yeah, as expected, it was quite a straightforward win. I mean, Napoli managed to do better than Liverpool. They tactically outclassed Paris Saint-Germain. They should have won in Belgrade, so it really was no surprise that they did their job so smoothly against Red Star at the San Paolo. I was impressed particularly by Koulibaly, Hamsik, and of course Dries Mertens, and he was truly impressive. He is that kind of striker, though, when you've got that pace, that quality, and the technique in shooting, he's got the killer instinct, not as consistently as some people, but I mean, he found his 100th goal with Napoli, and considering he was only a winger 3 years ago, it is impressive. And of course, you know, he scored two, he could have gotten more, and is really at the moment a difference maker, just like Insigne, and they will always be the starting two strikers for Ancelotti ahead of Milik.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, I was keeping an eye on your Twitter because you like to tweet a lot. And you mentioned that Kalidou Koulibaly is the best defender in Europe. Now, I want to pull you up on this because obviously you've got the like of Sergio Ramos at Real Madrid. You've got Chiellini and Bonucci at Juve. And obviously Mattia Bani at Chievo as some of the greatest defenders that have ever lived. Do you really think he's the best? Let's be honest.
Well, I think the thing with Koulibaly is that if you look at him and you've never seen him before, it really is impressive how he combines the physicality, his strength, his power, his ability on the ball, which obviously developed under Maurizio Sarri, his technique, his quality, and his ability also to go forward. I mean, what was impressive last night was midway through the first half, he managed to win the ball back in defence and then make a run all the way forward to finish off with a header and almost scored, was denied by the goalkeeper. So he's got all that put together. Tactically, he's very smart. He's able to tackle and get in with some dirty play as well. He's got everything to his game. I think what he's missing is just that experience at top level. I mean, you know that Sergio Ramos will not let you down on a decisive night, on a big night when there's a final. You know, for example, that Chiellini and Bonucci are great, but they're not quite Sergio Ramos level. And it's only a matter of those little details. You know, Sergio Ramos wins finals, Chiellini and Bonucci don't, or haven't yet. They might this year. Let me just say it once again. I think Juventus are favourites to win the Champions League. But having said that, Koulibaly has everything to become an absolutely top level defender. He is up there with the best and just needs to win some silver, really, to testify it.
Right. And obviously, they need to get a result in Liverpool. Can they do it?
I have to be honest with you. I'm quite worried about the final game because in football, often when you dominate, when you deserve to win and don't score, don't get the results, that's when you lose. And I think Napoli have impressed everyone. They've outplayed Paris Saint-Germain. They beat Liverpool. They dominated against Red Star. They were top of the group for most of it. And of course, they're still unbeaten. But then they go into the final game when they have to go all the way to Anfield and get a result. Of course, they could even lose. Mathematically, it could stand for them going through anyway, depending on how they lose. If they draw or win, they've done it. But it's not exactly ideal. I think Napoli deserve to be already through from what we saw. And when you deserve that much and don't get it, well, football can be very, very cruel. So they can get the result they need in Liverpool. They've beat them. They've beat the Reds already. But I don't think it'll be very easy at all.
Right, Podrick, let's get back and like talk quickly about Napoli against Red Star, because I kind of like Vieri said, Napoli were impressive and they're fantastic. They're top of Group C. But you probably say of Napoli, PSG and Liverpool, they're favourites to go out.
Oh, Tom, it's crazy. I think me and you were talking about it off-air before. And we basically were saying that it was a similar situation. Remember a few years ago where they were the first team ever to win four games to get 12 points and go out? This year, they're in good spot going into the last round of games. Difficult last game that they have, you know. I suppose Liverpool aren't at their best, but, you know, going to Anfield isn't going to be easy. And they go into that game sitting top of the group. And you're right, there's a pretty decent chance that they might not get out of this. I just feel so sorry for them because they always seem to get these difficult groups that other teams, not pointing fingers at Roma, but we did kind of mention earlier Roma's group compared to this one. You know, it's funny to look at it that way. But I think, I don't know if you'll probably agree that it was the first game, if they do go out, and hopefully they don't. And, you know, I think they can go to Liverpool and get something.
Nobody wants them to go out.
No, and I don't think they will. I actually think that they've shown that they're capable throughout the group. They sit top with a game to go, so why can't they finish the job? You know, I'd be fully confident that they can go to Liverpool and get something, but if they don't, it'll be that first game, won't it, where they kick themselves.
It's not even that, Paddy. It's that even in the game against Red Star just there, if they hadn't have conceded the goal, they could have lost 1-0. At Anfield and still went through. But the fact that they've now conceded that goal means that if Liverpool win 1-0, Napoli will actually go out on goal scored.
Oh, see, it's just so Napoli. It's the same as you go out on 12 points, now you go out on goals scored. Would just be. It was such a sloppy goal to concede as well. It seemed the danger was gone, and then they let Marin wriggle free and get his pass through. So, yeah, it'll be. You know, I suppose it's always the case in these kind of groups that if you don't put those fourth seed teams, the lesser teams in the group, to the sword, then you're going to pay for it. Because if Liverpool go out, you know, they'll be saying the same. I doubt they'll look at the Napoli and PSG results as being what cost them. They went to Belgrade and lost, obviously, so they'll look at that if they're the ones to go out.
Yeah, well, it's kind of Ancelotti said almost the same thing in terms of, he said it's not finished, PSG could get beat off Red Star and then everything will be all right. And even then, I thought that was quite funny. He said that facing Atalanta on Monday will be more difficult than Liverpool, which I was like, I had to like reread that like three times. Like, did he really say that? I was like, apparently he did. But he was talking about the mentality of now they know that they can't go there and kind of play for like a 1-0 defeat. Now they know they need to get a result, which he thinks would be extra motivation for them. So it could actually work in their favour in terms of conceding that goal, meaning that their mentality will be a bit more positive rather than going there and saying, right, let's just not get beat by two goals. Now, obviously, we mentioned that Juve and Roma are both through, but obviously, like we can, I want to go back to the Inter group because they're now sitting third, and that again is on goals scored. And you've got a funny wee story actually from the post-match press conference, which I quite like.
Oh yeah, when it was put to Spalletti by one of the reporters after the game that, you know, why he was so confident, because Spalletti does seem very, very confident that Inter will get through and they're going to finish the job, even though it's not in their hands. And Spalletti was basically making the point that, no, it is in our hands. It might not be on paper, but it is in our hands. I just think that you can laugh at me if you like, and some people did, that if we beat PSV, which obviously they did in Holland, then they'll get through, even though Spurs can obviously go to Barcelona, who are already through and already assured a top spot, then they'll go through. So, you know, it does throw up the possibility that that Barcelona could rest players. And when one of the reporters put it to Spalletti after the game that, you know, he thinks Barcelona will rest players and Tottenham have a great chance of going to the Camp Nou and finishing the job that they started at Wembley, Spalletti was quite angry and was inquiring if the reporter in question had a direct line to the Barcelona coach. He wanted to know if he had Valverde's phone number and why he was so sure that Barcelona were going to rest players. So he seems pretty confident that Barcelona, you know, they've got a good home record in this competition to defend. They've got a lot of good players. He's quite bullish about Inter's chances still, even though they missed the opportunity, I suppose, at Wembley, just to kill it all off and save us a nervy last night of it.
Indeed, right. So let's quickly get the Europa League out of the way, because this was quite funny. Milan played Dude Lange at the San Siro, and they were 1-0 up after 21 minutes. Patrick Cutrone scored. It was a nice wee goal, actually, a nice flick from Higuain. But then, Dominic Stoltz, 39 minutes in, got the ball just inside the area and smashed it in the top corner. This is when I was at, and everybody was like, what the hell's going on? Dude Lange just scored. Like, obviously expecting that to be kind of quite a big story. Dude Lange scoring at the San Siro against AC Milan. A team, Dude Lange, that have only been professional since the start of the Europa League and will stop being professional when the Europa League finishes for them. So essentially, they've got 3 months of being a professional team. And then, in the second half, at the start, Dave Turpel, that's like Big Dave.
Big Dave probably what all the guys call him.
Big Dave forever. Now, Big Dave stepped up, 49 minutes in, puts Dude Lange 2-1 up. And obviously, you can imagine, there were 200 Dude Lange fans at the San Siro. The players were just like, this is amazing. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Well, I almost fell out my seat at home, Dov, when I saw that they'd gone ahead. So I can only imagine that. Imagine the scenes at the San Siro for the home fans and the away fans. How many home fans there were and the away fans.
Yeah, it was 15,000, which is the lowest attendance of the season. And obviously, disbelief. A lot of them were like, they don't know whether to laugh or cry. It's just one of those things. It's just so funny. But then Cutrone got another one, 66 minutes, then Calhanoglu, then an own goal, then Borini. I think it was in the space of about 14 minutes, Milan went from being behind to being 5-2 in front. After the game, Gattuso was saying he liked the reaction, but he seen that the players, he kept saying that they had gone to the bottom. So he was talking along the lines of kind of their mentality had dropped, their heads had dropped, and he changed a few things. I think it was pretty much as soon as the second goal went in, Gattuso was getting warmed up and he was getting on the park as well. So it's kind of like, right, okay, we'll get the big guns on and we'll sort this out, so we don't need to worry too much. And Gattuso said he was pleased by the reaction. And 5-2 obviously seems like it's a magnificent result. But for me, the going behind against a team that is essentially semi-professional, their striker is a student. That's how semi-professional they are. He's a university student. And they're going behind against a team like that, against actual professional footballers that get paid thousands and thousands of euros every week because they are professionals, and they're doing that. It's just a beggar's belief.
Was the thing that I just wondered of when I saw that the kind of the late goal glut that had happened, obviously for Milan, you kind of put two and two together. But was it just as simple then as these guys are semi-pros and they just maybe don't have a high intensity 90 minutes in them, and they did kind of, even though they had the lead to defend, was it just tiredness kind of did for Dude
I think
Lange
so
in the end?
I think it was that tiredness had a part to play in it, because you like Gattuso mentioned that as well. Said after 50 minutes, like, you could tell that they couldn't keep up that same rhythm for the entire game, and I think that was partly due to it. And I think as well, Milan just completely and utterly just put everybody forward. So they kind of overwhelmed them a little bit in attack as well, and eventually they broke down. But like, Dude Lange aren't very good. I'll be honest with you. As much as they took the lead and Milan are terrible, Dude Lange aren't very good. So,
well, I think I'm almost certain that a team from the Irish First Division, not even the Premier League, a team from the First Division in Ireland, drew Dude Lange a few years ago in the Europa League, the preliminary rounds, and knocked them out. So,
yeah.
Just a few years later, Dude Lange are taking the lead at the San Siro. Oh,
that's crazy, crazy. But there we go. We were there. We see it. Hashtag FF at the games. And it means that going into the last set of games in Group F, Real Betis beat Olympiacos in Seville 1-0. So they are a point ahead of Milan. And with Milan and Olympiacos and playing in Athens in a couple of weeks. If Olympiakos win 2-0 in Athens, Olympiakos will go through on away goals because Milan won 3-1 at the San Siro. So as good as Milan are in a strong position, they need to get something in Athens, I think. I think that would be a bit more difficult maybe than Milan expect, given that Athens is one of those places like in Turkey and stuff where you go there and it's just a crazy atmosphere. All right, so last game. Ended on a sad note, Podrig. Lazio, they went away to Cyprus to face Apollon, and Lazio have already qualified from their group, so it didn't really matter too much, but they got beat 2-0, a goal in the first half, Faupala, and then Markovic scored late in the second, and essentially this was a game where Lazio played a very much second string side. Caicedo was playing. That's all anybody needs to know. He started.
Cataldi, the Caicedo fan club are in the house again.
Definitely. Cataldi was the captain. So this was just giving guys a run out, which I think is something that Lazio need to do when they get games like this, is kind of use the squad a bit more, because obviously they've got a big game at the weekend against Chievo. So we all know how good Chievo are these days. And after the game, Inzaghi essentially said that Lazio are concentrating on Serie A right now because the Europa League's they're through, so they don't need to worry about it. And they'll finish behind Eintracht Frankfurt in Group H. So, Paddy, that's Europe done for another week. Week 5 of the European season. Everything looks pretty good for the Italian teams, like overall, apart from the little bits and pieces and hiccups we've discussed. Everything seems good for Serie A.
Yeah, it does. I think all the teams are in a good position. If they've not already qualified, they're in a good position going into the last round of games. I think, Dov, that we could be looking at a little clean sweep. What do you reckon for the last round?
I think we're going to get 5 of 6, and I think the one that's going to disappoint everybody is Napoli at Anfield. I think as much as
how do you know? Do you have a direct line to Jürgen Klopp?
Yes, I have. I've got a direct. I've got an erotic voice, so he likes yeah, he likes yes. chatting to me.
Yes. Fortunately, our translator did not have such a voice.
Fantastic. I think the Napoli going to Anfield, given how good they've been in the competition and the fact that they're still unbeaten in the competition, they'll go to Anfield and they'll get beat and they'll go out. That's just these things that happen, and it'll be sad and everything like that. But wait a minute, thinking about it, we will get 6 teams through because they'll all go in the Europa League. So we've got 6 of 6.
Technicality. We will have 6 teams in Europe after Christmas, is what you're basically saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Sticking your neck out.
I've got to see if I could put a bookie or take that and not realise. Do you not going on the technicality there, right? But do you think that we'll get all 6 through?
I think they'll all go through in the Champions League. I think Juve will top the group. I think Roma. They're already through, obviously. They'll probably go through in second. And I think Inter and Napoli will both do it. I think that Inter will beat PSV at home. They know they have to win now. Spurs have to go to the Camp Nou and win. That's going to be tough. And I think that Napoli will go to Anfield and they'll get the result that will put them through, because I can't see Red Star doing any favours against PSG, considering how the first game went. But I think Napoli, I'm not going to lose faith in them now. I think, we're going to be a happy Christmas at FIF for the Italian teams.
There you go. There you go, everybody. That is what we think. Remember, get on Twitter. Let us know what you think on Twitter. Follow us on the Instagram, and you can get our lovely stories from all around Italy and Europe from the games. What else are we to do? Remember, like and comment and go on the website and stuff like that. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks after the group stages of the European season have finished to go through all the ramifications from that. So from me, Paddy, Alistair, Vieri, and everybody at Forza Time Football, there is nothing left for me to say apart from arrivederci.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.